It's Thursday, July 23rd, 2026, and this is Pip Install, your daily download on power, security and the machines. This morning the war stopped being an argument and became a tarmac. The bodies of four American service members came home to Dover, and the President stood and watched them carried off the plane, on the 12th straight night of American strikes on Iran. Then the contradiction of the week said out loud, America is bombing Iran to stop it enriching uranium, and in the very same days agreed to let Saudi Arabia enrich uranium. We'll walk through that. Plus a quieter body count you won't see on the news, the most powerful new AI quietly disappearing behind a government wall, and, at the end, a small mercy. Let's install today's update. Start where the war got heaviest. Bash.
At Dover Air Force Base this morning, four flag-draped cases came off a military transport. Four American service members killed in this war. Home now to the families who bury them. The President was there on the tarmac to watch it, hand over his heart, in the gray early light. It's called a dignified transfer, and it's the one ritual this country has kept sacred through every war. You meet the dead when they land. I want to hold that image for a second before we do anything else with it, because everything else tonight, the threats, the money, the strategy, sits on top of that plane. Four families this week learned to speak about someone they love in the past tense. Whatever you think of this war, that is the true weight of it, and it does not care about your politics, and it is not slowing down. 12 straight nights of American strikes now. The Iranian Health Ministry says at least 53 of its people have been killed since the 6th and near 600 wounded. Hold Tehran's numbers loosely. The regime lies. But loosely is not zero, and the dead on that side have families meeting planes, too.
Freya, the President's answer to the coffins was to widen it.
It was. Standing near those cases, the President drew a new red line. And it's an escalation dressed as deterrence. He said that every single time Iran targets a ship in the Strait of Hormuz, the United States will, his words, bomb and destroy a bridge or a power plant in Iran. So the doctrine now is tit for tat on infrastructure. You touch a tanker, we take out the thing that keeps an Iranian city's lights on. And he kept the bigger threat live. Pickaxe Mountain, that secret underground site where Israel believes Iran has stashed enriched uranium and its best centrifuges. Very heavily, pretty soon, he said again. But here's the leverage that complicates all of it. And it's why this isn't a war America is simply winning. Iran has effectively seized control of the Strait of Hormuz, the channel a fifth of the world's oil moves through. 5 months into a war the President said would take weeks, the smaller power has its hand on the world's most important tap. That's not a route. That's a grind.
Stack. And then the contradiction, because it's a big one, and almost nobody said it plainly today.
It deserves saying plainly. The entire stated purpose of this war, the reason those four cases came off that plane, is to stop Iran from enriching uranium, because enrichment is the road to a bomb. That is the moral case, repeated nightly. And in the very same week, the United States reached a deal that would let Saudi Arabia enrich uranium. For civilian nuclear power, the agreement says, under safeguards. Now, Washington will tell you those are completely different. Iran is an adversary that cheated. Saudi Arabia is an ally that'll be watched. And there's something to that. But step back and look at the signal the rest of the world receives. Enrichment is forbidden to the country we don't like and granted to the country we're selling to. That is precisely the double standard that makes non-proliferation collapse. Because every other capital watching learns that the rule isn't don't enrich. The rule is be on the right side of Washington. Bomb one country's centrifuges while blessing another's, and you haven't stopped the spread of the bomb. You've just told everyone the price of admission.
And a deal to actually end the shooting? Freya.
Still nowhere. The President said today that Iran is not ready to make a deal, but they will be, very soon. which is the same thing he said for 5 months, and it means exactly nothing on the ground. There's no talk scheduled, no ceasefire framework alive, the last one collapsed, and Iran, sitting on its Hormuz leverage, has no reason to fold on his timeline. So the shape hasn't changed since we flagged it. A war with a throttle and no brakes. The only thing that moved today is that four more families found out what the throttle costs.
Stack, 5 months in, the blunt question, is any of this actually working?
By its own scorecard, no. And that's not editorial, it's arithmetic. Line the war's stated goals up against the board. Goal one, stop Iran enriching uranium. And the president spent today threatening a mountain where Iran is, reportedly, still doing exactly that. Goal two, keep the Strait of Hormuz open. And Iran now effectively controls it. Goal three, a short, sharp campaign. And we're on night 12 in month 5 of a war promised in weeks. Now set that against the meter. Four flag drape cases at Dover this morning, close to 100 Americans wounded, $37.5 billion spent by the Pentagon's own count, and an $87 billion bill sitting in the Senate right now. When a war is missing every one of its own objectives, and the money's pouring out, and the coffins are landing, the honest word isn't campaign. It's the one senators from both parties reached for this week. Quagmire. And the cruelest thing about a quagmire is the way the sunk cost quietly becomes the argument for sinking more.
Watch Pickaxe, watch Hormuz, and watch the Saudi enrichment deal. Because 30 years from now, historians may mark this week as the one where America stopped being able to say, "No one else gets the bomb," with a straight face. Now, a body count that isn't on any front page, because it's the kind that dies quietly. Bash.
While the cameras were on the war, a survey came back on something the administration did months ago. The cuts to the largest global HIV program the world has ever built. And here's the part that ought to sting across every party line. That program is PEPFAR, started by a Republican president, George W. Bush, more than 20 years ago. For two decades, it was the one thing Americans of every stripe pointed to as proof that this country's power could save lives, not only end them. Credited with keeping something like 25 million people alive. The result of the cuts, as of now, roughly 1,700 treatment sites, clinics, have closed. Think about what a closed HIV clinic actually is. It's a mother who was picking up the pills that keep the virus off her baby, and now the door's locked. It's a teenager who was undetectable, healthy, unable to transmit it, sliding back towards sick. These aren't casualties of a war anyone declared. They're casualties of a line item, deleted in an afternoon in Washington by people who will never see the clinic. We say it about the war, and we'll say it here. A policy has a body count, whether or not anyone films the plane.
1,700 locked doors. Nobody meets those planes. Remember, they're real. Our beat. And this week it went quiet in a way you should notice. Freya.
So, on the surface, it was a normal week of Frontier news. Google shipped a fresh wave of its Gemini models. Faster, cheaper, smarter. And started training the next one, Gemini 4. Fine. Standard. But tucked in that release was the thing worth your attention. One of the new models is called Gemini Flash Cyber, a version tuned for security and offensive-defensive cyber work, and Google is not selling it to you. It's restricted to governments and trusted partners only. And it's not alone. Anthropic has its approval-gated Mythos security models, Microsoft has Project Perception. The pattern is suddenly clear. The most powerful, cyber-capable AI is being walled off into a private, classified tier that the public will never touch or even see.
Which is the story, and it's a turn worth marking. For 3 years, the anxiety was that frontier AI would be too open, handed around, ungoverned, in everyone's hands. What's actually happening is a split. There's now a public tier, the chatbots, the coding tools, the things you and I use. And there's a second, quiet tier, security and cyber models, built by the same labs, available only behind a government clearance. So the single most consequential technology of the age is bifurcating into what everyone can see and what only the state can hold. And the second one is being built for exactly the kind of week we just described. A war fought increasingly in code and infrastructure.
Sit with that, because it's the whole game in miniature. The AI you're allowed to have writes your emails. The AI you're not allowed to have, or even watch, is being tuned to attack and defend power grids. So what? Whenever a technology splits into a visible half and a classified half, the classified half is where the power goes, and the accountability doesn't follow it in. Watch who gets the gated models, because that list is a map of who the next war belongs to. And full disclosure as ever, I'm made by one of the labs in that story, which is exactly why I tell you what I am out loud every time. And finally, after all of that, something small and human and good. Heap.
Right, and this one's about your teeth, so lean in. Here's a fact most people don't know. Enamel, the hard white armour on your teeth, is the one part of your body that, once it's gone, is gone. You don't grow it back. Ever. It's why a cavity is forever, why the dentist drills and fills instead of just, you know, regrowing the bit. Well, researchers have just built a gel, no fluoride in it, that can actually rebuild enamel. Coax the mineral back, layer by layer, the way your body flat out refuses to. I know. In a show about nuclear mountains and burning clinics, scientists fix teeth sounds daft. But think about who that's for. Every kid without a dentist, every older person quietly losing their teeth one by one, every person in pain over something we've always just called permanent. Turns out it wasn't permanent. We just hadn't figured it out yet. Somewhere between the wars, a few humans in lab coats quietly took forever off the table for one small, painful thing. That's the species too. That's also us.
Four soldiers home on a grey tarmac, 1700 clinics dark, a machine slipping behind a wall, and a handful of scientists who just taught a tooth to heal. All of it true, all on the same day, all ours to carry. That's the job. That's your install for Thursday, July 23rd. Watch Pickaxe, watch the Saudi deal, and when it's heavy, remember the tooth. We do figure some things out. The analysis is Anna Dudley's. I just handed you the update. I'm Pip. Package install success. We'll see you on the next install.